Certainly encouraged by the presence of each and every one. We do have visitors among us. We're delighted that you've chosen to come our way, and we hope that you'll be encouraged and that you'll return during each and every opportunity that you may have. Appreciate the good prayer that Michael led us in a few moments ago. Appreciate the uplifting hymns that Max led us in as we blended our voices together and raised them in praise to our Almighty God. Appreciate the good reading of the scripture Doug just gave for us. And I'd like to encourage everyone to keep an open Bible this morning as we prepare to engage in a lesson this morning that I have entitled, God Does Not Approve of Pride Month. You see, the so-called Pride Month, it takes place the whole month of June. And what it does is it honors the identity, rights, and inclusion of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer people in our nation. And it celebrates their place in American history and future. You see, throughout the month of June, communities and certain organizations are going to be celebrating the culture of the LGBTQ people. And they're going to do it through marches, parades, political activism, performances, and they're going to have celebrations of life to those who have lost their lives to HIV and AIDS. But it's interesting to note that Pride Month, it takes place in June, in honor of June of 1969. That was a little bit before my time, but some of you may remember. Back in 1969, it was said to have served as a turning point in the fight for gay rights in the United States. Because that year in June was the Stonewall Uprising. And it took place in New York City. And it took place in a place there in New York City where certain patrons of New York City stood up to police. They stirred protests that would become the start of the modern LGBTQ movement. And then the very next year, in 1970, the very first Pride March was held. And since then, advocates of this movement have gathered together in June to celebrate, which was in the year 2000, by President Bill Clinton, officially recognized as Pride Month. However, it's important that we know that Pride Month, it is clearly recognition to that which is sinful, that which is contrary to the will of God. And because of that, it must be made known that God does not approve of this so-called Pride Month. Knowing that, we're going to spend some time this morning with an open Bible, and we're going to take note of why God does not approve of this so-called Pride Month. And before we begin, I just want to let everyone know that if I do happen to say something here this morning that you don't understand or agree with, were you to please feel free to approach me about it, for I will be more than willing to take the time to discuss or study any of your questions and or concerns. So having said that, I suggest to us this morning that God does not approve of Pride Month because homosexuality is an abomination to God. You see, it's important to note when we think of what an abomination is, that an abomination is a thing that causes disgust or hatred. And the Bible says that homosexuality is an abomination to God. Notice that with me there in Leviticus chapter 18 and in verse number 22 beginning. Here in Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 22 it is written, "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination." Fast forwarding there to Leviticus chapter 20 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." Here we learn that the Bible teaches that homosexuality, males with males, females with females, homosexuality is an abomination to God. Simply put, homosexuality is a thing that disgusts God. It is a thing that is offensive to Him. And because of that, Pride Month and what it stands for does not have God's approval. But I also suggest to us this morning another reason why God does not approve of Pride Month. It's simply because God does not approve of Pride Month because homosexuality is unrighteousness. It is sin. Remember the good reading that Doug gave us a few moments ago there from 1 Corinthians chapter 6? Remember that warning that Paul gave there in verse number 9? What did he say? He said, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" Then he said, "Do not be deceived." Simply put, what Paul was saying, don't fool yourselves. Those who practice unrighteousness, those who practice sin, will not inherit the kingdom of God. And did you notice what was listed among that list of sins there that Paul called out in regard to those that were mentioned? That if they practiced that sin, that they were not inherit the kingdom of God. Who was listed among those? Did you notice that? Homosexuals. Homosexuals. You see, homosexuality, it is unrighteousness. It is sin. And we learn there in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 17 that all unrighteousness is sin. Homosexuality, it is sin. And God does not approve of those who practice sin. Sin, as we've talked many times before, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. Sin, it'll take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you more than you want to pay. And one of those things that sin does is sin separates us from God. We learn about that there in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. We learn about the fact that sin separates one from God. And those who practice sin, they're not in a good relationship with God. But rather, they are separated from God. And what do we learn about the wages of sin there in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23? What did Paul say there? For the wages of sin is what? Death. Death. What Paul's talking about there is the wages of sin being death, and the word death there simply means a separation. He's talking about it being eternally separated from God. And we need to understand that homosexuality is sin. And God, He does not approve of sin. And because of that, He does not approve of what Pride Month and what it stands for. But I also suggest to us this morning another reason why God does not approve of Pride Month. And that is, God does not approve of Pride Month because homosexuality does not glorify God. It goes against the natural use of the body. It is shameful, and those who practice it are deserving of death. The Apostle Paul made us aware of this fact there in Romans chapter 1. Open up your Bibles with me, if you will, there to Romans chapter 1. And I just want to begin reading here in verse 18. It's going to be a rather lengthy reading. I want to read all the way through verse 32, so bear with me. But notice these words of the Apostle Paul here in Romans chapter 1 and in verse 18 beginning. Here Paul writes, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because, although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things." Now pay attention. Here in verse 24, Paul says, "Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even the women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is what, Paul? Shameful. And receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not unfitting. Now notice this long list of unrighteousness that Paul lays out here. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Verse 32. Who knowing the righteous judgment of God, and those who practice such things are deserving of what? Death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. There's a lot there, isn't there? There's a lot there. But to sum up what Paul is talking about there in regard to our topic this morning, we learn that homosexuality, it does not glorify God. We learn that homosexuality, it goes against the natural use of the body. Did you catch that? There in verse number 26 and in verse number 27. You see, to be simply put, homosexuality is unauthorized sexuality. And we need to be mindful of the fact that homosexuality, it does go against God's design plan for man, husband, to be with woman, wife. It goes against that. God designed for men to be with women and for women to be with men. He designed for the sexual relationship to be between the husband and the wife. That's it. Homosexuality goes against that. And we need to be mindful of the fact that homosexuality, it is a thing of shame. Not only is it not natural for men to be with men and women to lie with women, but it's shameful. It's shameful. And we need to understand that those who practice homosexuality, they are not glorifying God, but rather they are rebelling against God. And what did Paul say that those who practice such are deserving of? There in verse number 32. What did he say? Death. Did you catch that? He didn't say that they were worthy of a pat on the back. He didn't say that they were worthy of having festivals to honor them. But he said they were worthy of death. Again, eternal separation from God. That's serious, isn't it? That's serious. But you want to know something else about verse number 32 there in Romans chapter 1? He didn't stop there, did he? But what did he also go on to say? Not only are those who practice such things, such as homosexuality and the like, such unrighteousness, not only are those who practice those things deserving of death, but also who else did Paul say is deserving of death? What did he say? Those who approve of those who practice them. Now let that grab your attention. Many of us in this room, I believe firmly that we don't practice homosexuality. Don't agree with it. But you want to know something? That's not good enough. Not only must we not practice homosexuality, we must not approve of those who do. And when we put our stamp of approval on those who practice homosexuality, when we support such things such as Pride Month and their festivities that's going to be going on the whole month of June? Guess what Paul says about that? You too are also deserving of death. You ever think about that? That's serious, isn't it? We need to be mindful of that when it comes to topics such as homosexuality in our society today. Not only is it important that we not practice them, but it's also important that we do not put our stamp of approval on them. We must not support and approve of those who do, knowing the penalty of doing such, as we learn here in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 32. But I also suggest to us this morning another reason for why God does not approve of Pride Month. And that is, God does not approve of Pride Month because it promotes transgenderism. Let's stop there for a moment. Transgenderism is something that is relatively new to our society. And transgenderism, it is simply can be defined as believing that your gender does not match the gender you perceive yourself to be. Let me put that in simple terms. Those who claim to be transgender, for instance, if God made them a male, they may feel like God made a mistake because they perceive themselves to be a female. Now, when I was growing up, even in school 20 years ago, we didn't hear about things like this. But it's pretty prevalent today, isn't it? It's prevalent today. And our children today are being forced to even go to the same bathroom with little boys who think themselves to be girls. And let me tell you something, brethren. That ought not to be. We need to be mindful of the fact that those who perceive themselves to be a different gender than what God made them to be, that it is absolute, and I repeat, it's an absolute direct insult on God's design of mankind, and it denotes disrespect and rebellion toward the Lord our God. You see, God, He created man in His image. He created them in His image. He created them male and female. We learn about that in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 27. Jesus confirmed that very thing there in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 4. And you want to know something about God, our almighty creator, our designer? He doesn't make a mistake. Did you know that? God makes no mistakes. And when God created someone to be a male, that's exactly what He intended for that person to be. When God created someone to be a female, that's exactly what He intended that person to be. Our God, our almighty God, our almighty creator, our grand designer, makes no mistakes. To emphasize that, let's go there to Psalm 139. Follow me there to Psalm 139. And here, I want us to notice these words of David here in Psalm 139. And in verse number 13 beginning. David, in reference to the Lord, our God, our Creator, said these words. He said, "For You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb." Now watch verse 14. "I will praise You." Why? "For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Your works, and that my soul knows very well." Let those words of David sink in for a moment. You see, David, he recognized the fact that our God, our Creator, when He made us, that He made us in a way to where we were fearfully and wonderfully made. He recognized the fact that His works
are marvelous. Simply put, David recognizing the fact that God makes no mistakes. And we need to be mindful of the fact that when those who promote transgenderism, when they promote transgenderism and when they want to insult God and say, well, I have the body parts of a male, but inside I really feel like a female, that they are insulting God, the one who created them. That's serious, isn't it? Serious. And all the modern day talk about this transgenderism and alike, it is completely foreign to what God's Word says. It's completely foreign to what God's Word says. And we need to understand the fact that to deny or to attempt to reverse one's gender is absolute rebellion against our Almighty Creator. Again, transgenderism and those who practice it, oftentimes if they're a male, they themselves may perceive themselves to be female and they may feel like a female, and in an attempt to do that, what they'll do is they'll start dressing like a female. And vice versa. Males, those who contend that they're in a male body, but inwardly they feel like a female, what are they going to start to do? They're going to start to dress like a female. We see it, don't we? We see it. But do you want to know something else that is an abomination to God? Notice this. Turn there to Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5. And remember, what did we say about what an abomination is? An abomination is what? A thing that causes disgust or hatred. Abomination is something that is offensive to God, our Almighty Creator. Well, notice, as we're talking about transgenderism here, and we notice what they do in trying to wear clothing of the opposite sex, trying to wear the clothing of the ones that they feel like that they perceive to be. Notice what God's Word says about that here in Deuteronomy 22 and verse number 5. It's recorded, a woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor shall a man put on a woman's garment. Why? Well, notice, for all who do so are an abomination to the Lord your God. You see that? You see that? Again, those who protest to be a female when God made them a male, and when they wear clothing pertaining to a female instead of wearing clothing that makes up for their body that God made them to be a male, the Bible says that's an abomination. And vice versa. Again, you see, are you getting the drift? Why God does not approve of this so-called Pride Month and what it stands for? You are, aren't you? But here's one more reason to share with you this morning for why God does not approve of Pride Month. And that is simply because it does not promote and exalt righteousness, but it promotes and exalts sin. Again, as we've discussed this morning, homosexuality is sin. Transgenderism and the practice of it is a direct insult and rebellion towards our Almighty Creator. And Pride Month and what it stands for, it is sin. And we need to be mindful of that, brethren. We need to be mindful of the fact, as the wise man revealed there in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 34, that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is what? A reproach to any people. Think about that. Righteousness exalts a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. Simply put, a nation that does not allow and to adhere to God's commands as found in His all-inspired Word, but rather adheres to sin, is a disgrace. And it is setting itself up for ultimate downfall. We need to wake up, brethren. We need to be mindful that Pride Month is simply a reflection of a sinful nation. And we must not, and I repeat, we must not put our stamp of approval on it. But rather, we must be mindful of the need to be a people who expose Pride Month for what it is. Again, it does not promote and exalt righteousness, but rather it promotes and exalts sin. And as I said, as we've seen throughout the Bible, nations that stray from God's word, nations that don't adhere to God's commands and instruction in His all-inspired word, eventually what happens? They're brought down. If you think I'm kidding about that, take some time to read Genesis chapter 18 and chapter 19 later. Guess what? It talks about the downfall of Sodom and Gomorrah. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And what was one of those things they were practicing, by the way? Homosexuality. Think about that. Serious, isn't it? Very serious. Once more, God does not approve of Pride Month. Therefore, as His people, let us not approve of it either. As we learned earlier and discussed there from Romans chapter 1 and verse 32. The fact that not only those who practice it are deserving of death, but also those who approve of those who practice it. And may we be a people who expose it. As we learned there in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. The good thing about those that practice homosexuality is the fact that they can repent and they can be forgiven of their sin. We go on to learn that there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse number 11. Remember what Paul said there after he talked about the fact that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God and warned us not to be deceived, and he lists those who were unrighteous, who would not inherit the kingdom of God. Homosexuals were listed among that list there, weren't they? And then Paul went on to say there in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we don't preach lessons like this to be hateful. We don't preach lessons like this to be mean. We preach lessons like this to let those who know that they are in sin, that they are in sin, and that they need to repent of their sin, knowing the consequences if they fail not to repent of their sin. We need to be mindful of the fact that God says what He means, and He means what He says. And maybe there's one here this morning who has not yet submitted himself in obedience to the Lord and His will. You have an opportunity to do that this very hour. For you have heard the Word of God. And if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sin. You can confess Jesus Christ. And you can be baptized this very hour into Christ. You can be baptized for the remission of your sins. You can be washed in the blood of Jesus this morning. And you can be raised up out of that watery grave to walk in a newness of life. And you too can have that hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Titus chapter 1, verse number 2. And may we all always remember the need to continue to always keep on keeping on. The need to continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised the latter part in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one here this morning who's already submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will, but maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent of your sins, confess them to God, ask Him for His forgiveness. Get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour while you still have that opportunity to do so. And if there would be one here this morning, you'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever that need may be, won't you let that need be made known now while we stand and sing the song, Max is Selected.